Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've been talking a lot about the riots in July, and I quoted some of the what I thought are important comments from the report. The most significant one for me was this comment: perhaps the most significant input made, which we heard several times, was that what appears to be factional battles in the ANC have become a serious source of instability in the country. This is a matter of great concern, and the reason for this needs to be identified sooner than later. That was the one comment. The other was, for their part, the security services are uncertain about how to effectively address the convergence of violent criminal conduct with mainstream politics. Given the correct posture taken by the country to ensure political activity stays free of state security interference. Those are the main causes and the main reasons failures were significant all the way along the chain. But what was clear as well was the mobilization of people was a very, very real concern. And we did see people being mobilized. WhatsApp was the communication. And we wanted to look at the new WhatsApp laws. Could this help to prevent social unrest in the future in South Africa? We wanted to understand a little bit more. Achmor Berger-Smit, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Workspan's Attorneys. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. I'm well. I trust you, Wallace.
I am indeed. All right, so let's just talk about the impact that this type of communication had during the riots, and then try and understand how this could be changed by the new laws.
May I, you know, just as an introduction to the discussion, make the following comment. I think the, you know, referring to the legislation as the new WhatsApp law is a bit unfair on WhatsApp as a social media platform, because it actually relates to all social media platforms, whether it's Telegram or whether it's WhatsApp or whether it's Instagram or Twitter, or, you know, it relates to all social media platforms. But if we look at what can be achieved through these social media platforms, is indeed that we can communicate very quickly with a large group of people. And we can spread messages that can cause damage to property, that can cause, you know, violence against people. And that is what the legislation, the Cyber Crimes Act, specifically focuses on. You know, if we look at the July unrest, Howard, one of the messages that was spread on social media, which clearly spoke to, you know, imminent violent protests, actions, you know, with the hashtag shutdown SA and others. One of these posts contained a message that read, shutdown KZN, roads, factories, shops, government. And these are the kinds of messages that were spread on social media. And indeed, where we stand as South Africa, we need to join the rest of the world in being prepared for a world that changes, also in terms of when it comes to criminal behavior and criminal actions.
So there's no doubt that this was used as a tool. So and something needs to be done about it, if at all. You know, you don't outlaw the telephone because people make threatening phone calls. You outlaw the threatening phone calls. But what are the changes now to social media that might limit this type of behavior?
Well, if we look at social media and what will limit this kind of behavior in terms of the legislation that was provided, or that's now part of our armory from a legal perspective, is that the legislation clearly creates an offense and criminalizes data messages which are harmful. So data messages and the abuse of social media platforms, or the analogy that you just referred to, the abuse of that telephone, in inverted commas, that you had in your hand previously. And, you know, Examples of such messages would be those that incite violence or incite damage to property, or those that threaten people with violence or threaten people with damage to their property. And that is apt. And what we're considering here is the word, you know, those messages that constitute incitement. And then incitement to do what? And it's incitement to harm, it's incitement to damage. And that is at the heart of this legislation. Now, we need to consider, if we look at, you know, incitement and damage of property and violence against persons and, you know, groups of people, what this actually means. And again, you know, I love the law because our courts give us such clear guidance. And if we look at the Constitutional Court specifically, you know, the Constitutional Court spoke about what this test for incitement is when you use speech or conduct that incite others to commit serious offenses. And serious offenses relate to acts such as murder or, you know, rape or robbery or corruption or, you know, burning down buildings. This is, you know, these are crimes that are deemed evil by their very, very nature and would constitute serious offenses. So if we look at the Criminal Procedure Act, you know, it lists offenses which are serious. And if you use social media for that purpose and you know, to with the intent to commit an offense and to break the law, that is, the law aims to regulate these messages, the data messages that one would send over a WhatsApp platform or any other social media platform, and to deal with that. And, you know, if we look at messages that reflect these evil content, the Cyber Crimes Act criminalizes that. And if I say it criminalizes it, it provides for people to actually go to jail. And more beautiful in terms of the way the legislation has been put together, it puts a positive obligation on the mobile operators and then also, incidentally, financial institutions to cooperate with investigation into these acts, evil acts of crime and incitement to commit violence. And the reason why it puts this positive obligation on the mobile service providers is to enable the investigators and the police investigating these crimes to actually identify the culprits sitting behind these evil actions. So if we look at the July unrest and we look at it through the lens of the Cyber Crimes Act and consider all of that, you know, we've got all the tools in the Cyber Crimes Act to identify the instigators and the ones that actually drove the communication on the social media platforms to incite the violence.
So the reason that, if I understand correctly, that the operators are being pulled into this is to provide the information, because obviously they can't actually be held responsible for private communication between two customers or even one customer of theirs and a customer of another operator.
Indeed, Howard, you can never hold you know, one of the mobile companies liable for the fact that someone abuses the technology that they make available to the country for us to have a very good communication system in South Africa without which the economy can't function. And you need to hold the perpetrators responsible. And the legislation then imposes these obligations upon them to assist in the investigation of the cybercrime. You know, for example, by furnishing the investigating team and the courts with details and particulars and handing over of data that can demonstrate who the owners of certain accounts are, for example. Mm. So, you know, this is very important to fight the crime, the offense of cybercrime or cybercrime in South Africa, because you need to build the evidence and that chain of evidence. And you can't do that without also following the data trail and the electronic data trail to identify who sits behind certain accounts and who are the instigators in this regard.
Absolutely right. It is 842. I think that is absolutely critical because they do leave a trail of evidence, and it is possible to get behind the masks, behind the bots, and try and understand who is driving it. Achmor Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law, Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorney, talking to us this morning about the new social media laws helping to prevent future riots.